Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. One thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. And for decades, Angie's helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. Get all your jobs done well at Angie.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no, so my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now, I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
Monday morning, April 22nd. What's up, Richmond? Michael Phillips here, MP on the mic. We got a lot to get to today. NFL draft update right out of the gate. Of course, a lot has happened over the course of the weekend. Let me tell you what else we'll do today at 10:30. Megan's here. It's the Monday Funday crew. Megan's here, and we'll do a Taylor Swift segment. That's the correct number. But we got to do one. We got to talk about this. We'll do that at 10:30. Put a bookmark in that. At 11, a little spring football update. Big weekend for spring football. JMU played their game. UVA played their spring game. And Tech, of course, has been in the barn for about a week now. We'll give you the squirrels update, the kickers updates. Got some A-10 hoops updates as well. A little news this morning in ACC hoops. There's going to be a doubleheader in Baltimore this fall. The Hokies are going to play Penn State. That's Mike Rhodes' team. UVA will play Villanova. A little doubleheader up in Baltimore. Speaking of Mike Rhodes, he was out at the Virginia Sports Hall of Fame this weekend. We'll dive into that as well. We're not going to do this today, but as at the Virginia Sports Hall of Fame inductions this weekend, our guy Paul Woody was in the Hall of Fame, which was awesome, and Paul's speech was great. We'll play some of the clips from that later in the week. Now, there's no show tomorrow because we have Flying Squirrels baseball tomorrow. It's the Education Day game, also known as the loudest game of the year. Those kids can make some noise, is what you need to know about the Education Day game. It's a special atmosphere out at the Diamond. 6,000 elementary school kids yelling and screaming for Nutsy and Natasha.
Yep, that is what I've heard.
it's a special time at the it's when they do it at the basketball, it's even wilder because it's an enclosed environment. Mm. So the screams echo and reverberate. nobody leaves unscathed from the Education Day game.
Good luck, Blaine and Trey.
Good luck to Blaine and Trey. Tuesdays with Trey has been replaced by Trey tomorrow, just doing a baseball game during this program. We'll be back Wednesday. And of course, you know, we're your NFL draft headquarters Thursday and Friday, but let's get right to it because there was a lot that went down this weekend, most of it involving Jaden Daniels. Now, reporting is a tricky thing when you're reporting on something like the NFL draft for a lot of reasons, and what was our motto on this show last week, right? Nobody knows anything. And that remains largely true, right? The Commanders have kept their cards very close to their vest, but then we had the Topgolf situation last week, and we got a lot going on around that, and so the reporting has taken a number of twists and turns, and here's where it ended last night. This is ESPN's Adam Schefter on SportsCenter talking about Jaden Daniels and whether or not he wants to be in Washington, and this clip was retweeted by Jaden Daniels' publicist. So the word from Jaden Daniels' camp, he will play in Washington. Here's Adam Schefter, ESPN.
But Jaden Daniels also knows that he can't control where he goes in this draft, and his opinion doesn't matter where he wants to go. It's all up to the team. And right now, Jaden Daniels is prepared to go wherever he's drafted. Most people still believe it continues to be number two to the Washington Commanders. That still looks to be the favorite spot. But because of some speculation this past week, people wondering whether he would go, whether they would take him, the fact of the matter is Jaden Daniels knows he's not a free agent here. He has to go where he's drafted. And if it does turn out to be Washington, as a lot of people still believe, he's prepared to go to Washington.
He's prepared to go to Washington. That's not a rousing endorsement, right? That's not, he's excited to go to Washington, but he understands if he's selected by Washington in the draft, the rules are he'll go to Washington, and he's ready to go to Washington. Now, why would we have such speculation, right? And it's funny because, of course, the whole pre-draft conversation was around Caleb Williams. Will he go to Chicago? Will he refuse to go to Chicago? What will his contract demands be? Now we got heat at number two. Why would we say such a thing? Well, let's rewind a minute. Here's Adam Schefter on Pat McAfee's show on Friday talking about Jaden Daniels.
I think it's a situation where, from the outset, Jaden Daniels said his... had an interest in being other places. He just has. Now the interest is, okay, what do the Commanders do about that? Do they, like, there have been plenty of players who have wanted to play elsewhere, and the teams don't care, and they just do what they do. Or if there's a team that wants him, i.e. a team that used to essentially have a coach that worked them in college, like, then they have to trade for him. So what do they want to do?
That's what's fascinating here, right? And the team he's referring to is the Raiders, is because the Raiders coach was defensive coordinator, Antonio Pierce. He was the defensive coordinator in Arizona State when Jaden Daniels was in school there, right? So we've got a lot going on here. We've got the consensus being Jaden Daniels is the second best quarterback in this year's NFL draft. And I think that's largely true. And we'll reserve some time for Drake May and J.J. McCarthy in the second segment, because I have a theory on that, too. And I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility they'll take Drake May. And it's not for the reason I think that everybody wants him. It's completely different. We'll dive into that, though. But we're in the middle of this with Jaden Daniels. That's some pretty credible reporting here. Actually, let's play four next here. That's the Jeremy Fowler clip. Because let's just throw another log on this fire, right? That's Adam Schefter, the most connected NFL reporter, with Jaden Daniels kind of maybe doesn't want to go to Washington, but he understands the rules are whichever team picks him, he goes and plays for them. Here's Jeremy Fowler, also of ESPN. He's pretty well connected with the Commanders. Here's his take on the whole thing.
Now, he has had interest in playing for the Raiders. That is real.
Sure.
Staying on the West Coast, reuniting with Antonio Pierce from the Arizona State days. But they pick 13th. It's going to be hard to make that sort of trade happen. Intrigue in Minnesota as well. That's not to say that he doesn't have interest in playing for Washington eventually. I cannot confirm that that's any different. But as was told to me, this has not gone as smoothly as it should for a player who's a viable candidate for the number two overall pick. It should be sort of pretty clear at this point. Talking to people in Washington, they still expect that Daniels is, you know, a good candidate to be the pick here and could very well happen, but there's just a lot of smoke right now.
It's a lot of smoke right now. A lot of smoke flying around right now, as there always is at this stage of the process, and there always seems to be around this team. Now, the Commanders are still in the driver's seat, right? Jeremy Fowler, right? He's, well, you know,
He may still want to play for Washington. I can't confirm that, but he might. He might have fun there. He might enjoy his trip to Washington, but we cannot confirm that. He may or may not have fun there. So throw on top of this the Topgolf situation last week, right? Where Jane Daniels, it appears, thinks that he's going to go spend a couple days with the Commanders, do the Caleb Williams visit, right? You're our guy. Why don't you come meet the players? Why don't we show you the playbook? Why don't we have a good time? Why don't we print up some Jane Daniels jerseys? Tress already vacated number 5. Like, life's good here. Let's do the thing. And then he gets, I don't know if he was blindsided or not, but clearly somebody in the camp was unhappy that he gets there and the other quarterbacks are there too. That J.J. McCarthy's there and Drake May's there and Michael Penix is there, and it's a group visit, not an individual visit. Now, this makes sense from the Commander's perspective. They're trying to sort out whether or not they should take Jaden Daniels at number 2. And Jaden Daniels has, to me, no on-the-field question marks. A visit with Jaden Daniels is not, where would you throw the ball here? Go run 40 yards. How fast are you? What kind of shape are you in? He checks all those boxes. Great football player, right? You got two question marks here on Jaden Daniels. One is, can he stay healthy? And you can't answer that in the pre-draft. There's no test for that. You can talk to doctors. You can do medical evaluations. Bottom line is, when he got hit in college, it looked like a Looney Tunes cartoon, right? It looked like the coyote splattering when the boulder hit him. It didn't look clean. It looked ugly. Every time he got hit, you're just limbs flailing everywhere, and they're peeling him off the ground to get him back up for the next snap. How does that play in the NFL? Nobody knows. That's a question mark, and it's fair to have that question mark. But number two is, all of this, does he want to be there? Will he be pouty about being there? Will he, you know, give you your all, or will he be really difficult? And this is where we also intersect this with the conversation that this is a new era, a new regime, new ownership with Josh Harris, new general manager, Adam Peters, new coach, Dan Quinn. They don't have to answer for the sins of the past. But we lived it, right? That's why we talk about it, because we lived it. We lived RG3. We lived Chase Young. We lived the yacht picks. We lived that. And we lived players getting special treatment in the building and players creating issues in the building. We lived Clinton Portis having a radio show. We lived RG3's dad coming into the locker room. We lived all that. And so when you see those red flags, you don't take him. Now, that's not fair. That's not fair to Josh Harris. That's not fair to Adam Peters. And that's not fair to Dan Quinn. They're new. They don't have to answer for those things. What they do have to know, though, is they're rebuilding the culture. That's the word we talked about. We want guys who want to be here. We want this to be a place we got to be. And this is the first big test of that. Do you take Jaden Daniels knowing this could be a strain on the culture? And if you've built it well enough, you can take guys like this over time. Look at what Mike Tomlin did in Pittsburgh. Look at the nutcases he ran through that team over the years. Antonio Brown, number one on that list, obviously. Far from the only one. I mean, the number of personalities in that locker room, can you imagine what that would have been like in the Dan Snyder era here? But they had structure. They had leadership. And because of that, they could absorb some of those guys. Andy Reid in Kansas City, every year he's grabbing somebody who, you know, right, there's red flags, there's character issues, he's been arrested, he's been this, he's been that. They bring him into Kansas City, and you never hear about those things again, right? Because there's structure. Is there that structure in Washington? They're going to build it. They say they're going to build it. They've been here for 3 months. That's not an easy decision to make. Because on top of all this, right, you're never going to be number 2 in the draft again. Next time they pick number 2 in the draft, somebody else gets to turn in the card. Because it's not going to be you. Although we'll talk about that with the Drake May scenario on the other side. What are you going to do when, with regard to this draft pick, knowing you've got a player who's really good? And those were not mixed messages, by the way. Like, the firmest we got there was he's willing to go play in Washington. Caleb Williams has been very clear, right? There were the rumblings out of the gate. Would he go play in Chicago? Does his dad want him in Chicago? He's been very clear, I would love to go play in Chicago. He shut that down right away. Now, we'll play it on the other side. Jaden Daniels was on Chad Ochocinco's show. We always give give Megan and Hazel the briefing here. It's the Monday Fun Day crew. His name is Chad Ochocinco. It was Chad Johnson. He became a star receiver in the NFL. He wore number 85. He wanted to change the name on the back of his jersey to Ochocinco, 85 in Spanish. Okay. The league said no, so he legally changed his name to Chad Ochocinco so he could wear the number 85 and have that on the back of his jersey.
That's funny.
He's a problem solver.
That is a problem solver right there.
He chatted with Jayden Daniels last night. We'll play that clip on the other side. We'll continue our NFL draft updates. We're building towards Thursday. We're 3 days away. Hang in there. We'll get there, I promise. It's the Monday edition of MP on the Mic. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. We're rolling on a Monday morning. It's an NFL draft preview because we've got a lot going on. And Jayden Daniels was on Chad Ochocinco's show last night to resolve this. By the way, Chad Ochocinco is doing an online show with Shannon Sharp and Gilbert Arenas. And we've got the Washington Commanders' presumed draft pick on there talking about Topgolf controversy. This is like, it's 2008 again. Somebody go get Dan Steinberg to transcribe this. This you can't make this stuff up. This is incredible. So he was asked, he wasn't really asked anything. They mostly just talked at him for a while. And at one point, they bring up Washington. You go, yeah, they got some dogs there. Talking about Jahan Dotson and Terry McLaurin. That was kind of as deep as that. It was mostly just these guys giving their opinions, though. So at one point, Ochocinco starts talking about the Oakland Raiders, and who are now the Las Vegas Raiders. And I'll catch up someday. I'll get there, I promise. Right now, they're the Las Vegas Raiders. Antonio Pierce is the coach of the Raiders. He was with Jayden Daniels at Arizona State, his first college. They really want him, and they've made no secret of that. Here's the clip, and then we'll talk about it.
I'm not Mel Kiper. I'm not Cleo, but I have an epiphany that for some reason you will end up with AP at the Raiders. Now, I don't know how they're going to jump all the way up to number two. I'm not sure. I just think that's what's going to happen. I'm telling you. So if you just so happen to be a Raider, I just want to be the first one to get a jersey. I just want to be the first one to get a jersey. I want to sign it. So I'm going to put it up back here. And I'm excited for you, man. I'm excited for you. I done ran into you a couple of times. Obviously, yeah. you know, you were my son over at ASU at one point. I'm excited, man. It's going to be really dope to see you walk across that stage.
Man, I appreciate that.
What would that be like to be reunited with a guy that you was with at Arizona State?
I don't know how they're going to pull it off. but, I mean, that's above my pay grade, man. But
yeah, I wouldn't do it. I ain't trading. Why would I give AP up that? You're a transformation of quarterback, Jay.
Yeah. Hey, yeah. Man.
I ain't giving that up.
Mm-hmm. Hey, man. Just AP, man. AP, just as a human being, you know, he the right coach for that team. You know, just him and the intensity that it brings, you know, he challenged people. He was challenging me at 18. So I know if I was to go to the Raiders, I'm not saying I'm going to go there or I want to go there. You know, mm-hmm. I want to go wherever my yeah. name called. But if I was to go to the Raiders, I know as soon as I step foot, he's going to challenge me. He don't care how high I was drafted, none of that. You know, he's going to challenge me every day.
All right. I want to go where my name's called. All right. We're getting closer. We're tiptoeing towards it. Let's recap. That's Jayden Daniels. He's the second best quarterback in this year's NFL draft. The Washington Commanders pick number two. They like Jayden Daniels. Jayden Daniels is lukewarm about them. They maybe made him mad the other day by making him go to Topgolf with some other players. Now he's talking about maybe wanting to go to the Raiders, but the Raiders do not have the number two pick in the NFL draft. And also, he understands that he wants to go wherever his name is called. So that's where we're at now. That's where we're at. And so the question is, is that a win for him if you let him hijack this process, right? If you run through this and you decide, we got issues here, okay, maybe we want to trade the pick, can you get commensurate value? Can you do it? And what my theory has always been, right, you want to trade with the teams that will make you, you know, that don't make other teams look silly, right? If you're an owner, you'd always wanted to trade with the Dan Snyder Redskins. In recent years, it's been Houston, right? You want to trade with Houston because you're going to come out looking good on the other end of that. You want to trade with Carolina right now. I think the Raiders are possibly in that camp. You could possibly get them there. Now, the other team that has been connected to Jaden Daniels is the Minnesota Vikings, who need a quarterback. They've got picks number 11 and 23 in the first round. And I'm just going to lay this out. I don't like either of those. I don't like 11 because I think your offensive linemen are going to be gone by then. At 23 is better because if you want Penix or you want Bo Nix, you know, one of those guys. I don't think J.J. McCarthy's going to be there at 23, though. So I don't love 23. And if you use 11 to draft J.J. McCarthy, there's a little bit of what are we doing here to the whole thing, right? You could probably get him at 11, but it's not a certainty. And if you don't get him at 11, now you're holding two draft picks where you're going to get good players, but not great players. At 11, you've got to know Joe Alt's there or Olufoshanu's there. One of the two offensive tackles, left tackles, who are worth drafting. Build the offensive line. Here's the thing. You don't know that they're going to be there at 11. And I think there's a reasonable body of evidence suggesting they won't be there at 11. So I don't love the idea of trading with the Vikings. Now, part two of this is, when you trade with another team, you gamble that they will be bad in the future. Because then your future draft picks get better, right? The Bears played that masterfully. Traded with the Panthers. The Panthers stayed bad. Now they're back up at number one. That's another reason I like trading with the Raiders. Because I think the Vikings can be good for the next few years. Kevin O'Connell's a good coach. They're clearly all in. They push the chips in with their guys right now. The Raiders, I don't know that... Look, Antonio Pierce is a good coach. I don't know that they're going to bottom out by any stretch. But look around that division. Kansas City Chiefs are in that division. I'm going to go out on a limb and guess they're pretty good next year, right? Jim Harbaugh's coaching the Chargers and Justin Herbert. They're going to be pretty good next year. You've got Sean Payton, who's desperate in Denver. I don't know that that's going to do anything for him, but he's not working on a long-term plan. He's pushing the chips in. So you've got a little bit more at the Raiders where you say, can we get 3 years of number ones out of them, and will those picks potentially be really high? And so now we can go down more or less a tanking road. And that's why every time somebody talks about like Dan Quinn and Cliff Kingsbury and what their process is and you know who they like, nobody cares. Nobody cares who they want because this is an institutional decision. You want Jaden Daniels and you want to start building a winning football team and you want to do it right now like the Texans did when they drafted C.J. Stroud. Or what you want to do is you want to trade back and build for the future. Now, that brings Drake May into this. Drake May, the consensus is you can't take him because it'll take a couple years to develop him. Well, I don't know that that scares these guys away, right? J.J. McCarthy, you can't take him. It'll take some time to develop him. I don't know that that scares these guys away. I don't know if they necessarily need to be good this year, right? Let's look at the body of evidence we've got on Josh Harris. He tanked in Philly for 3 years. He's not afraid of running a process here. And by the way, what's the one thing he wants in life? New stadium at RFK. He wants to be good when that happens. Remember L.A.? Stan Kroenke builds his palace out in L.A. They built that team to win the Super Bowl in the new stadium. He didn't care about the interim years. He didn't need to be good in 2026 when there were shovels in the ground. He was going towards opening day. He wanted the team to be good then. And I think, to a large extent, Adam Peters has been empowered to do that. And so you can get some guys if you trade back and you can get some future firsts and you can hold off. Now, the J.J. McCarthy thing is interesting to me because how low can you go? Can you trade with the Giants? Could you trade with the Patriots? I think trading is very much still on the board here. But if they take a quarterback, you've got to take the guy who gives you the best chance to win right now, and that's Jaden Daniels. And I haven't seen anything that nudges me off of it being Jaden Daniels. You got a lot of off-the-field question marks, but that's why Adam Peters is making a lot of money. That's why you lured him from San Francisco to be the guy who answers those questions. Either one, we have a good culture here. We can deal with this. He's mad about Top Golf. He can get over it. He's going to be a great quarterback. We'll work with him. Or, I don't know, there's too many red flags here. We got to get out of here. That's what they got to decide in the next few days. And that's what they got to run back on. Now, we'll do lots of draft preview throughout the week, right? Because Wednesday and Thursday we're on as well. And then Friday morning we'll be on before rounds 2 and 3. But, you know, now's the time of year to start acquainting yourself with some other guys you like. Ben Standig, who I love, has his mock draft out today. You're always looking, right, who's the guy in the second round? Who are the guys you're going to take? He likes Roger Rosengarten. So he was Michael Penix's right tackle. And by way of quick explanation there, right, the right tackle protects the blind side of a lefty quarterback, in this case, Penix. So he's up there. I like Amarius Mims. He's the Georgia kid. He needs a year. Patrick Paul of Houston's another name I've seen. Who do you take at offensive line? Any of those guys, though, and we'll go into this further in the 11 o'clock hour, any of these guys have to sit and develop for a year. Any of these guys will have to grow and learn and develop for a year. You don't have a plug and play. So that, I am going to stand on the table and say they should not play the rookie quarterback for 17 weeks in week one. I just don't think the roster's ready for it. Right. We'll dive into that in hour number two. We got a lot of updates. Squirrels updates, obviously. Kickers made a cool announcement about women's soccer over the weekend. We'll share that with you. Big A-10 hoops pickup. St. Louis might be back. We'll tell you what they're up to. And, of course, spring football this weekend. We got a lot of ground to cover. Caps down 0-1 in their playoff series. New York looked like the better team last night. We'll get an update from the Garden. All that and more on the other side. This is a Monday edition of MP on the Mic. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. 10:30 NFL Draft Talk resumes at 11:15. Spring football. Hokies have been in the barn for about a week now. UVA and JMU wrapped up this weekend. We'll tell you what's going on around the Commonwealth at 11, but it's the Monday fun day crew. Oh, and no show tomorrow. No show tomorrow. We got Flying Squirrels baseball, the Education Day game. They'll be playing right now as we tell the pregame show will be starting right now with Trey and Blaine, and then they're home for the whole week taking on, I think it's Bowie. I don't know. Don't quote me on that. We'll find out. Don't worry about it. We'll get there. Oh,
it's Bowie.
It's Bowie. Let's go. It's Bowie. I know my Flying Squirrels baseball. Yeah. Not as well as Megan does.
I try.
Right. You've listened to the album.
Yes.
Our resident Taylor Swift expert is here on Mondays. You've listened to the album.
I have.
And first impressions?
Okay. First impression, I listened to it with Vince, and like we weren't like the most impressed at first.
Sure.
But then after I started to like really listen to it, I was like, wait, I kind of like it. And it's like someone put online, it's basically like Midnight hung out with Folklore and then this was the result.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that because I am a Folklore Evermore girly and it's got just a little bit of splash of Midnight's in there. I was disappointed about the lack of Joe Alwyn in there from what I'm seeing online at the theories. So
Megan wants the tea.
I want the tea. I want to know what happened with them.
I'm happy there's not a lot of Joe Alwyn in there.
Really?
Because here's the thing. Every time she's taken her stick and beaten up on a boy pinata, the boy has been famous or at least on her level, right? You think about, you know, Harry Styles and, you know, all these actors and Calvin Harris's and people throughout the years, right? And that's fair and probably deserved. And they, like, John Mayer will never be able to live a normal life. And that's on him. That's not on her. That's on him. There's a power imbalance with her and Joe. She's bigger than Joe. And Joe hadn't been making a scene about this whole thing, to my knowledge. Right? Like, so
a little scene. He released a few statements.
He did.
Said, I'll be offended if it's about me.
I just don't know. Like, did we need 32 songs of whacking at a Joe Pinata?
No, we didn't need that many.
I don't think we did.
That's fair.
Maddie Healy. Sure. Yeah.
The situation.
Why not?
Of course, I have heard there's like way more history that they've been going on for like 10 years. So that's fair.
She's got material.
She's got a lot of material.
I believe I've identified two Travis Kelce songs.
Yeah.
I don't like either of them.
Really?
Yeah. And I hope this is not indicative of the kind of music he'll be inspiring in the future.
So, okay. I can see your point. So, like, I was... Okay,
What we need to tell the listeners now, one is that we're doing a Taylor Swift segment, because it's our show and we want to. and we'll get back to everything else. But two is, there are no bops on this album. There are no bangers.
My goodness, I disagree. What about
Down
Bad?
No, upbeat, dancey songs.
I think you can dance to Down Bad. Now I'm down bad, crying at the gym.
Ooh.
You can dance to that.
You can probably do a good little walk on the treadmill
or like,
to that.
Or like, what about the
crying at the
I'm
gym?
I'm so depressed on
Thursday. Oh, yeah, that's
birthday.
A good one.
It's a treadmill walking
song. It's a treadmill walk.
I can't quite.
Swinging those hips.
Yeah.
just twerk to that.
Which doesn't buy the second half of the album.
Yeah.
The bonus album.
That's the one that I need to listen to a little bit better.
That to me is just a continuation of Folklore and Evermore. And I love it, and it fits right in there.
Yeah.
The first one, it's amazing for what she's saying, but not necessarily how she's saying it. I welcome it as part of the canon, but it's...
Yeah.
You're a fan. You're predisposed to, like, you hear it, and you're like, I like it. But, like, before you even hear it, you're like, I'm gonna like this song. I'm not wired that way.
Yeah.
So, like, I am a fan, but also, like, it's gonna need to grow on me.
Yeah, and, well, to be fair, that's kind of what it did to me. Like, it took, like... a second listen, because like I said, when it came out, I kind of just like skimmed through some and I listened a little here, a little there, and I was like, I don't know, this isn't what I was hoping for. And then I actually sat down and listened to each song on the first half of it, like fully all the way through, and I was like, oh wait, no, I see it, I get the vision.
Sure. Oh, very clear vision. Yeah. And it wraps up this chapter.
It does.
And it frees her to do whatever's next, which is what I'm excited for.
Yeah.
You know, part of it is she's kind of been working with the same people now for a really long time.
Like Jack Antonoff.
I mean, that relationship has now been longer than, like, she had her country people. Max Martin wrote the pop songs. Jack Antonoff, you know, Midnights was great. Before Midnights, it's like, she probably needs to quit working with Jack Antonoff. They've gone as far as they can go. Then she did Midnights. It's like, oh, they can go further.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that they went further here. This was more of like, wrapping it up for me. I hope the next album we go a different direction.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that. I will say I was kind of disappointed about the Post Malone song too. I had very high hopes
for a single.
I heard the AI version.
For a single it wasn't.
There was an AI version. There was like discussion on like is it a leaked clip? Is it AI? And it was AI. It was not the
Yeah.
Ooh.
They flooded the market, right? Yeah. To avoid the leaks, I guess. Best guest appearance was Florence from Florence and the Machine.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I actually didn't love that one. I actually did not love that one.
It blended the two styles.
Yeah.
So her Florence's style and Taylor's style. So, and Florence and the Machine fan here, so I'm going to enjoy that. That's going to be my sweet spot.
As we discussed, predisposed to enjoy.
I was there predisposed to enjoy that. I did. We're talking about Florida.
Yes.
Florida.
Which, on a concept album where the concept is like, I am bearing my soul to you right now, that song didn't.
You don't think so?
No.
No.
No. Unless there's a very hidden meaning there.
Yeah.
That was more in the line of
escapism.
Like, getaway car, kind of like... This we're not advancing
the
storyline.
We're
not. But big picture, she wrote 32 songs while touring and re-recording.
Yeah, that is a lot.
She's insane.
She's insane. Busy. I will say it does inspire me. I was saying on Mix the other day, it does inspire me with my own songwriting. Like once you get into all the lyrics and the metaphors and details and everything, like it does. Like I sat down and I was like, I want to write a song right now.
Yes, she's so
I love
she's
that.
So gifted at it.
She is.
It's one of my favorites is Sweet Nothings on Midnight. So the lyric is on the way home, I wrote a poem. You said, what a mind. Mm-hmm. It happens all the time.
And I will say, too, like,
by the way, that was pre-Travis Kelce. That's Joe, obviously.
Yep.
But that feels like a Travis Kelce line. Like,
it does.
Whoa, you just wrote a poem?
Whoa.
And I will say,
whoa.
Hey, what a mind.
Don't worry about it. It happens all the time.
And I will say, I do have thoughts. So
all the time.
The Travis Kelce one, well, first off, with the Matty Healy stuff, with more being about Matty Healy, I saw this one comment just real quick online, and I thought it was hysterical, because basically people were like, oh, she's just ripping into him and telling him what a piece of dirt he is. And Maddie's response was just, fair. Which I love. We are self-aware. But but with the Travis Kelce stuff, I don't know if you saw that AI song, but
no.
There was some AI song about so happy my Travi made it to the big game.
Oh,
and then right. I do like the songs about him, but I do see what you're saying. They are a little cheesy. They are a little bit like high school Taylor Swift. And
it's literally called So High School.
Yes.
Yes.
No.
And the one in particular, it's like, she just copied the AI song. Like, there's football references in here.
what was the Grand Theft Auto lyric? Like, you're feeling me up while your friends are playing Grand Theft Auto.
Yes. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
On the Travis Kelce song.
I was like, Taylor. Taylor. Girl.
He's a muse. kind of muse than she's had before.
All that, and she's still writing poetry.
On the way home, in the car.
What was your favorite, though? Before we go to break, we got about like a minute and a half.
That's the thing about both doing the segment and keeping me on time. You don't have to. Give me the last five on the bonus album, like everything from The Prophecy to The Manuscript, like a full soul bearing and musically it works, and the lyrics are just like, because the lyrics in the first album are also attempting to be songs that stand alone. And she ditches that entirely. Yeah. It's like, I'm just going to tell my story now. And it's like, wow, I can't believe you're writing all this down. Like, am I going to like listen to this on repeat in the car at a high volume? No, I'm going to stick with Cruel Summer. But the fact that she puts this out in the world is remarkable to me.
It is.
All right, your favorites.
Oh my gosh, I look in people's windows. And then
Megan.
I love looking in people's
also
windows.
Really liked,
that's why Megan's here on Mondays. That's why
we have to cover the window when Megan's here.
This is why we need to stay on Megan's good side.
Stay on my good side. So Long London, I did really like that as well. And I thought there was one. I Can Do It With a Broken Heart.
Hazel declared that was funny. The start of So Long London to be creepy.
I did. Okay.
And I stand by it.
Hear me out. It reminds me of Lover with the because it's all repeating. And it also reminds me of, what was it?
Okay.
The beginning of Death of a Thousand Cuts.
Sorry, what was this? What was the second song you liked after So Long London?
I Can Do It With a Broken Heart.
That was a good one. Yeah, that was a very.
Is that
funny.
The one about
it makes
birthday?
Me laugh? Yeah, she's like, I'm miserable. I'm like, Taylor, are you okay? No.
Where do you want her to go from here?
Again, I am very stuck on the whole Folklore Evermore thing. Yeah. I do think she needs to venture more into the pop stuff again and kind of lighten things up. But I wouldn't mind if she kind of goes back and forth between those two styles.
There you go. All right. Anything else we need to say before we put a bow on this? Now you can go back to producing and tell me I'm over the clock.
Yeah, we're over the clock.
Get out of here then. It's at the Virginia Sports Hall of Fame on Saturday night. So we'll talk about that. We'll dive into everything else going on. It's the Monday Funday edition of MP on the Mic. You're listening to 910 The Fan, not 105.1 FM. Very minor Commanders news here. They've released Shaka Toney. You remember, he was the defensive end who was suspended all last season because he was gambling at the facility on other games, but you're not allowed to gamble inside an NFL facility. So he had a year-long suspension. He's back. He's been cut by the team, which makes sense as they basically released everybody who was a part of the Ron Rivera era as they clean up shop. Also this morning, multiple reports that the Hokies and Cavs, the Wahoos, are going to have a basketball doubleheader this fall in Baltimore. Hokies will take on Penn State. UVA will take on Villanova. That's going to be that'd be a good night of basketball up there, right? Mike Rhodes, Penn State. Villanova is always a power, and we'll see what UVA does to reload and rebuild. Nobody knows who's going to be playing in that game because it's portal season number two right now, but that could be a lot of fun. We're talking about Travis Kelce. Let's talk about his brother, Jason Kelce, who had a bit of an incident last week. Here he is recapping it on his podcast.
I legitimately lost my Super Bowl ring in this event. They could not find it. We have still yet to find it. All of this stuff has been thrown away, so I think we can safely assume that my Super Bowl ring is now in a landfill someplace in the Cincinnati tri-state area. I didn't think that would happen. We've already put the insurance claim in, which I think the insurance company might have some things to say about whether they're going to cover that.
It's Jason Kelce, who lost his Super Bowl ring because he was in Cincinnati doing a live podcast event, and they brought out a pool of chili. And inside it, they put several replica Super Bowl rings and his actual Super Bowl ring.
No.
And had people swim around and try to find it.
No. What?
And now it's missing.
This is unhinged.
They put in an insurance claim on this. Yeah.
Oh no!
Oh no!
Seen this coming.
I'm sure the insurance company won't ask a lot of questions before just replacing this $1 million Super Bowl ring. That's the Kelce
brothers. That's a responsible way to treat your Super Bowl ring. I mean, who doesn't put it in a pool of chili?
I mean, I would put mine in a pool of chili.
If I had one, I would put it in a pool of chili. Then I would have people swimming around trying to find it.
That's the goal.
So the Virginia Sports Hall of Fame was this weekend. That's not an abrupt transition. That's a smooth transition because Chris Long was inducted. Famous UVA player, Howie Long's kid, blah, blah, blah. Super Bowl winner with the Eagles. He had his charity golf tournament on Thursday. Mm-hmm. He showed up Friday, apparently a little tired to the Hall of Fame stuff. Jason Kelce was at Chris Long's charity golf tournament. Apparently they didn't wrap up in a timely fashion at the 19th hole.
But does Chris Long still have his ring?
But Chris Long still has his ring.
Interesting.
That's what matters.
There was so much bling there. Like, Parnie's there with his World Series ring. And, Monica Wright, who has a WNBA, college, Olympic, all the titles. Mm. When you show up in an event like that, everybody's just, wearing their bling. There was a lot of bling.
You got to.
Yeah. Craig Littlepage had on display his UVA baseball national championship ring.
Oh.
You just, see it in the lobby. And, that's it's a lot of sparkle. That's a lot. They put a lot of sparkle on those things.
You got to get that insured.
Yes.
It was not dumped in a vat of chili at any point during the evening. That was the
transition I was hoping for. You were going to tell me that was part of the event.
That would have spiced it up. Not that I didn't enjoy hearing from these people, but I would have enjoyed hearing from these people and swimming in a giant bowl
Absolutely.
Of chili. So it was the 51st Virginia Sports Hall of Fame ceremony.
Okay.
First one ever in the Richmond area.
Oh,
so
nice.
about time we got our due.
Yeah.
Great crowd. All the stars. So Craig Littlepage was UVA's AD forever. Jill Ellis, she won two Women's World Cups as the U.S. coach. Tons of stars. My guy Paul Woody was there. I was there to support him. Writer at the paper forever. Now Hall of Famer. You can't touch that. You can't take that away.
Mm-mm.
He's in forever. Once you're in forever. So he's a Virginia Sports Hall of Famer now, which was really cool to hear. LaShawn Merritt, who won gold at the Olympics, was literally wearing his Olympic gold medal, which kind of outblings the fancy rings, right? He was the blingiest of the night for sure.
Oh, yeah,
got his Flava Flav medal on there.
Basically, those things are huge. I was like, how do you get that insured, right?
Like, good point.
Because those are expensive. Those are
they keep them at the Olympics.
Those are made of gold. That's not. They don't just call it a gold medal.
Are they heavy? I mean, I assume they are.
I don't know.
Strong necks out there with all our Olympic winners.
I'm feeling for the gymnasts now. Tiny little girls putting on these. I don't know that it's heavy, but it's big for sure, and it's made of metal, so. I don't know. Why wouldn't it be?
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Makes total sense. Hal Nunnally was the Randolph-Macon coach forever. And they had the stat where it was Randolph-Macon's had six basketball coaches in the last 90 years or whatever. One of those Pittsburgh Steelers style stats. Four of them were there, including Mike Rhodes, who coaches Penn State now. We mentioned they'll be playing the Hokies this year. Mm-hmm. Fun to see him again. And the departures are never smooth, but I can tell you, Mike Rhodes is still thought of very highly by the people who knew him at VCU and by the people who interacted with. There's no bad blood there at all whatsoever. And so that was cool to have him back.
Very good.
They had the little Hall of Fame party room. So is it the new Henrico thing that used to be mm-hmm. Virginia Center Mall? We don't do malls anymore, I guess. All the malls have to be something now. Regency's Pickleball. Virginia Center Commons is... This big sports facility that they had a dinner, they had the thing. Here's the thing. It was a lovely night. They had an open bar before the event. No objections here.
Uh-huh.
Then they had the event and people spoke. And then afterwards they had a reception with a cash bar, which is not inappropriate for sure to have a cash bar at that point of the night. Make a little money, wind things down.
Yeah, you've had your open bar time.
You had your time. We had the ceremony, which was lovely, and I think people were really jazzed to have it in Richmond and to be honoring great Richmond athletes and the rest of the state, too, because Richmond's an easy place to get to.
Yeah.
Richmond, broadly speaking, is the perfect place for something like that. We just haven't had the facilities for a long time. But I'm going to hang out for a little while. My guy Greg Burton's there. I said, let me get a drink. We'll catch up. Then he starts chatting with Mike Rhodes. I go over. I got a Michelob Ultra. So for you non-beer lovers, that's a base level beer. Budweiser, Miller, Michelob. That's a base level beer.
Mm-hmm.
You want to guess how much? No, there were no prices listed. It was just a bar. And they serve me.
No prices. And I
was like, I'll cash out. And he hands me the receipt. Do you want to take a guess?
Is it in a glass or is it in a can?
Just a bottle. Just grab the bottle, open the lid, handed it to me.
$15.
Yeah, it was absurd. It was $11. It was $11.
You know, if it was in a glass, I was going to go higher.
I mean, things have gone off the rails.
$11, huh?
Yeah. Didn't diminish my enthusiasm.
Did you still tip?
I did.
You have to.
Yes. But here's the thing. I normally tip $1 when a bartender just like grabs a beer, pops a bottle, and gives it to me. I tipped $1. Am I supposed to go more because they charge more? That seems unfair to bartenders at lesser establishments that are serving $3 beers.
Yeah.
I'm tipping $1 on a $3 beer, and I'm tipping $1 on a $12 beer.
Yeah. That's a quality.
Period. That's a quality. Uh-huh. Thank you. If we don't stand for something, we'll fall for anything.
That's
or whatever,
right.
Whatever that saying is. We'll stand for a little spring football talk after this. We'll play Rick Jeffrey. He ran Special Olympics here in Richmond for a long time. He gave just a phenomenal speech. I want to play that. Maybe we'll get to that on Friday because we're not going to have time before the draft. But I want to play that more or less in its entirety because it was really, really good. We'll get to that later in the week. What we need to do now is get to this break. I see that happening. We're back with the top of the hour. We got NFL draft talk at 11:15, spring football updates up next, and some local hoops and baseball and soccer, all of it. It's MP on the mic. It's the Monday show. It's 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. That's a full show. That's not just a brief topic. The tipping culture's out of control at this juncture. It's not. We got to rein it back in somehow. I'm fine with. I know restaurant people don't want it. I just pay the restaurant people a fair living wage and tell me what things are going to cost.
Yeah.
Like
hot take there.
Sure, everybody's like, oh, they'll quit trying hard. They're not trying hard for the tip. Nobody's doing that. Like nobody's hustling like that anymore. And if you've got, like, I've always said, my one piece of advice to anybody in life, be a regular somewhere. If you're a regular somewhere, you'll get treated really well.
Yeah.
And so if you're a regular somewhere, you can still tip, right? Like, that's not, if I'm a regular at a bar.
If you're a regular, you better tip.
Even in a living wage scenario.
Yeah.
I'm still going to, you know, take care of the people who take care of me.
Mm-hmm.
That's what tipping is. It should be above and beyond. Not the base expectation. Because then you got people who are ruining it for the rest of us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will say the biggest tippers are often food service people.
Yes, because they know.
Yeah.
They
so
know.
So it ends up we're just all handing the same $20 back to each other.
Yeah.
We'll have a $5
just
tip.
Just passing it around.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody should have to work some form of hourly wage job.
Definitely.
In their life.
Yeah.
Period. No exceptions. I worked at a call center for dial-up internet service.
Oh my gosh.
So I was technical support, so people would call and yell at me because their computer didn't work, right? Like,
good
just,
job.
You got to be on the business end of angry consumers, right? Whether that's retail, waitressing, whatever it is. Everybody needs to do that once in their life. Be on the business end of things.
It helps you learn to treat others the way you want to be treated.
It's amazing. It's amazing what happens there. Speaking of treating others, the sales team here at Odyssey has brought brought Treat Shop donuts for us today.
And they're delicious.
They're great. That's Southside. That's Southside representing right there.
Very nice.
Down on Jenk Road, the Treat Shop. Oh yeah. You know what?
Yeah.
You know I don't miss an opportunity to stand up for Southside on this radio program. Absolutely. Nobody goes harder for Southside than MP on the mic.
My boyfriend gives me a hard time because he's from like, you know, up Northern Virginia and he's got his like cows and stuff and he's like, ah, you Southsiders. I'm like, come on.
jealousy? No question.
Exactly. Because we're in the middle, he's in the middle of nowhere. We got everything here.
I'm gonna try to go an entire day without poking the Northern Virginia bear. So I'm not gonna take the bait.
I learned
Hazel.
A lot about Loudoun County.
I won't do it. I won't do it. I will not
Moving
take the
on.
Bait. I will not take the bait. Those are fine, lovely, upstanding citizens up there in Northern Virginia.
I
wish them the best in their endeavors.
I mean, don't get me wrong. They're lovely. But South Side's where it's at.
They just got nothing on South Side.
Not going to do it. Not going to do it. I see.
Megan's really baiting you here.
Our guy George's getting his tweeting fingers ready right now. No, not going to do it. Not going to do it today. We're not taking the bait. Not going to happen. No way. We got our Richmond updates at 11:30, 11:15. We'll dive into a little more NFL draft. But look, everything in football is fall, obviously, but we got to carve out a few minutes to talk about the spring games because everybody's in the bank with their spring game now. They're in the barn, I guess. The spring games are done. Tech, UVA, JMU. Those are the three I want to talk about because those are the three I followed and I care about. I love that. So they're putting these spring games on the ACC network now, which I think is cool. Like, I'd rather watch something than documentary programming. I'd rather watch something live. I don't know if you saw this. North Carolina did not put their spring game on the ACC network because Mac Brown didn't want it on the ACC network because he was worried the other teams would watch it and get an unfair advantage. So he negotiated, apparently, that ESPN got some kind of behind-the-scenes access to the program and is going to make something out of it. And in exchange, they agreed not to show the spring game on TV. Now, nobody is more paranoid than college football coaches. One seed of paranoia in the world. I love the thought you can't put your spring game on TV because then all your things will be...
That's how they get you.
Well, we thought we were going to have a good season, but then they put our spring game on TV and then everybody knew. Yeah. Everybody knew from there. It's people grinding on that spring game tape getting ready. Start with the Hokies. I know that was a week ago, but I didn't watch it until this week, so it counts for me. Kyren Drones, he's going to be the quarterback. I love that he's going to be the quarterback. I love teams that decide their quarterback early on. Cough, cough, UVA. We'll get to that in a minute. Kyren Drones looked good. Pop Watson as a backup looked good, too, and you need two. It's nothing against Pop, who I think has the ability to develop into a good player. But Kyren showed last year he earned this starting spot, and he's got it. His top four wide receivers are all back, and they grew over the course of the year last year. If they can make this training camp summer period pay off for them, they can be good. Now, that doesn't mean they can be great, but they can be good, and then the defense takes the job from there. So they did. It was touch football, not tackle football, with the quarterbacks. So the defensive line had 13 sacks in the spring game, but they were touch sacks. Count to three Mississippi, you know, run out there. I don't know what all they did. But of the 13 sacks, only one of them was against Drones, which I love. Anyway, I'm bullish on this team. I've said this before. I'll say this again. This is Brent Pry's third year. Everybody's back who matters. That's really rare in college football these days. And I've done this before. I'm going to do this again. I'll read you their first four games because this is everything. This is the whole enchilada right here. First four games for Virginia Tech. Number one, at Vanderbilt. At Vandy. That's an SEC team on the road. We're not sleeping on that. We're not putting that in the win column. All I'm saying is, I think they're going to win that one. And it's a really important one. Start on the road against an SEC team. Chance to set the tone. Vandy's not a good SEC team, but they are an SEC team. They paid all that money for the Tech kid who was decent at basketball. I mean, they're writing checks like it's nobody's business out there at Vandy. They will have a good football team. That will be a challenge of a game. But if they win that, they come home and play Marshall, they go to Old Dominion, and then they're at home against Rutgers. And I don't want to, like, put pressure on Brent Pry that's not warranted. Because, you know, sometimes people are like, if he don't win these games, he should be fired. I don't say things like that. All I'm saying is that's a 3-0 stretch right there. If you're the team you think you are, that's a 3-0 stretch. Marshall, Old Dominion, Rutgers. You don't leave the state during that time. There's a little home cooking for 3 weeks. Take care of business. So if you can get that Vandy game, we're talking about a 4-0 Virginia Tech Hokies football team. You'll be hearing a lot of that Brent Pry gravelly voice promo this fall. I'm Brent Pry. Welcome to Virginia Tech football. You'll be hearing a lot of that. They're 4-0. They could be good. Fifth game, Friday nighter, national TV in Miami. And Miami's always a preseason darling. That would be fun. Time to bring some juice back to Virginia Tech football. What I loved last year was the fans stuck with it, even in the lean times. I hope they get rewarded this year. UVA. UVA will not decide on a quarterback between Tony Musket and Anthony Calandria until the summer. That is incorrect. I get the loyalty to Musket. I get that this staff loves them some Tony Musket. I don't see it. I haven't seen it. I'm not sure I ever will see it. Ride with the kid. Ride with Anthony Calandria. Look, it's easy to say this from this chair, but give him the reps. Give him the time. They made him play with the twos on Saturday. We learned nothing because he got sacked every time he dropped back. Give him a fighting chance. There is no offensive line there in Charlottesville, by the way. That could be a 2-3 quarterback season. I'm skeptical. Anthony Calandria, by the way, his coach won't name him the starting quarterback. He took his wide receivers down to Florida to do a retreat, getaway, private workout. That's starting quarterback material. You have it, Tony Elliott. You have it in the building. Don't be an idiot. Give the kid the ball. Roll with Anthony Calandria. JMU had their spring game. They've got a quarterback, of course, Dylan Morris. He was the backup in Washington last year behind Michael Penix. He'll be the starter. I didn't see a ton of this. I saw some clips out of Harrisonburg. Cam Ross looked really good at wide receiver. This is a team that is going to be a victim of misplaced expectations the same way Ryan Odom was this year, right? He's a coach of VCU basketball. He should win the A-10. That's how this works, right? That's not how this works. You got a first-year coach. You're turning a lot of things over there. Bob Chesney, I don't expect you to finish first in the Sun Belt. If you do, I'll sing your praises. If you don't, I'll say you're building something here. But they've got the right pieces. You got Dylan Morris. I think you got a good quarterback there. You got Cam Ross at receiver. I think he's going to be pretty fun to watch at receiver. I think JMU's got a fighting shot. I think it's going to be a fun fall. That's all we're going to do on this for now because it's spring football. My guy David Teal, I will always ride for David Teal. His spring game column out of the UVA game, he wrote about the kickers. That's what you need to know about the spring game. It's the right, and he did the right thing too, right? That was notable. But that's where we're at here. I'm not breaking down kickers. I'm not Chris Russell. I can't do four segments on the kickers. I can't do it. I hope the special teams are good all over the place. I hope we get some Beamer ball this year. I can't do spring game special teams breakdowns. A man has to draw the line somewhere. What I can do is talk about the NFL draft because it's 3 days away. And this was a red-hot weekend for all the drama. You think the Taylor Swift album had drama on it? That had nothing on the Jayden Daniels Topgolf controversy.
Oh, no.
Which is still, that pot's still simmering. We'll take that on after this. It's 910. The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Man, busy show today. We've packed it in. Half an hour to go. AWOD Radio takes over. At noon, it's Monday. It's MP on the mic. Didn't do a lot of capitals today. I think we've done exactly zero capitals to this juncture. That was everything I was afraid it would be. They didn't just lose yesterday. They played a good game. That's kind of what bothered me more, was I think they did what they were supposed to do, and they lost 4-1 to the Rangers. Look, the Rangers are the best team in hockey. The Capitals are the worst team to make the playoffs since 1991. Nobody's surprised, but I was hopeful. I was optimistic, and took about 2 minutes to erase that optimism there. In the second period, they ding, 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 3 goals in. Thanks for playing. 4-1 finish. They're back at it tomorrow. I won't give up. I'm going up Sunday night for the game. So next week, the Monday Funday show, y'all are going to have to carry it because I'll be coming back from D.C. late Sunday night. But hopefully with a win. But Charlie Lindgren, who I continue to love the story, I thought he was good. That's the hope here, right? I thought he was good in goal. I didn't put the goals on him. We'll see what happens. There's also this. NBA and NHL have 8 first-round playoff games. It combined between the NBA and NHL, they've played 14 of the 16 playoff opening games. The home team has won all 14 of them so far. So home teams undefeated in the first round of the NBA and NHL playoffs. Some really good ones along the way too, especially in the NHL, which you know I like more. That's why AWOD and I are such a good team. AWOD can do 30 minutes on the NBA, and I can't. But I can talk puck, and there were some good games yesterday, highlighted by a 7-6 game, the Winnipeg Jets beating the Colorado Avalanche, which was the Jets have, you wouldn't know this, the best defense in hockey. And so for them to win 7-6, I think bodes very well for them going forward. Good day for the Canadian teams. The Canucks take care of business 4-2. One of my things is I would like a Canadian team to win the Stanley Cup again. One, because it's a Canadian prize. It hasn't happened in over 30 years now. And they care the most, too. So some people say that's why they never win, because there's too much pressure. And you like Las Vegas won last year. It's easier for like Las Vegas to win because they don't care in Las Vegas. But I would love, and they do care in Las Vegas, obviously. I would love for a Canadian team to win the Stanley Cup. That would be a good storyline for me. No disrespect to Zach McHugh's Carolina Hurricanes, who looked the part. They looked the part on Saturday. They're back at it tonight, of course. But we've gone this whole way without the Squirrels update too. I think we got to bang the Squirrels update sounder here and take care of business. Very positive Squirrels update here, coming off back-to-back wins. 7-4 wins Sunday afternoon at the old FNB Field up in Harrisburg. The Squirrels split the six-game series with the Harrisburg Senators. Do we have Trey's call there? We pulled that, right?
We have the Sugar City clip. Is that the one you're looking for? The wah, wah, wah one?
That's the one.
There you go. Let's go.
That's the one.
All right.
This is, go for it. Go for it.
Luckum throws. Poke towards shallow left. That sinks down for a base hit. Garcia's in to field it. He fires toward the plate. Thomas hustling home. The throw is cut off, and Thomas scores. And now Sugasti's caught a rundown between first and second, trying to outrun the first baseman Morales, but he slaps the tag, and that ends the inning. But Sugasti's got an RBI single, and the Flying Squirrels now lead 7-3.
It was that pick clip. That clip was picked exclusively for the Womp Womp
Womp. It was. That was wonderful.
You produced the Squirrels. I would say outside, it's Trey and Blaine, and then it's you in terms of Squirrels knowledge in this town.
Yep. I feel like Rob is probably like a step ahead of me because he actually knows baseball. Yeah. But like, I am up there.
I bet he catches fewer games than you do. And that was Adrian Sugasti with an RBI single. And then you heard him get picked off at first base at the end. I love that. That is a very like home team thing. They're in Harrisburg, right? Like a run scores against them. They're losing 7-3, but they tag the guy out, so they're going to play that. They're going to play that womp womp womp.
Womp womp.
Oh yeah, they're going to get to the bottom of that. Squirrels have now split the series up there. They split their last two full home stands, so it's six games in a home stand now. Yep. Last week 3-3 at home. This week 3-3 on the road in Harrisburg. They're back home against Bowie tomorrow. Here's what you need to know. Carson Ragsdale's on the mound. First pitch, 11:05 a.m. That means you will not hear this program tomorrow because the Squirrels will be on. And that's all right. Normally, Trey and Blaine are on Tuesdays. There he is.
Hold on.
There he is.
Real people take a
whole
donut.
This is Zach McHugh.
Hold on.
Has taken a whole donut.
Yeah. That's what real people do.
That's what real people
do. I know you're a half donut guy.
Solidarity with Megan.
I'm with you.
Solidarity with Megan. Full donut. Coming in to let us know.
Crushed.
No. I think we're bringing out the full donut lovers. We've empowered them.
No. Tell me, Emmy, why are you causing division in the studio?
Woke up and chose to do this.
Chose violence.
I kind of want to be on full donut team. I don't want to be on half donut team.
Come over
team.
Here. Come on. Come to the dark side.
I love it. Tomorrow, we'll be off eating donuts. You can enjoy Flying Squirrels baseball.
Yeah.
We're back Wednesday with whatever happens in the Jaden Daniels drama between now and then. As the world turns. Kickers played at home this weekend. They made a cool announcement. They're going to host an NWSL game this summer. That's the highest level of women's soccer in America. And they're hosting at City Stadium. They're going to bring in two of the pro teams, the NWSL teams, which will be super cool. It'll be the Washington Spirit and the Chicago Red Stars. They'll play a game Wednesday, July 31st. Now, that's in addition. We got a women's team this year, the Ivy. But this is the pros. They're going to come play in Richmond this summer.
Nice.
So that'd be cool. That's a fun announcement by then. Also, we already shared this. College basketball news. This is portal season, but they're doing scheduling for next year as well. Hokies are going to play Penn State, and UVA is going to play Villanova in a men's college hoops doubleheader in Baltimore. So that's going to be a fun event next fall. You know I love good non-conference basketball. It gets the juices flowing until they move the whole season back, which they will do. They will come to their senses at some point and start the season on January 1st and have May Madness. I'm telling you, it's the way to go. They'll get there eventually. Until then, I like having some good, significant non-conference games. Here's what stood out to me. We had two portal items from the weekend. One, Jason Nelson, VCU, who had transferred from Richmond, is in the portal and now will be moving on again. So back in the day, that would have been a kiss of death to do the double transfer. He played for a school, he transferred, now he's out again. You can just do that now. There's no black mark there. He's not looked at any differently. But I would guess, and I don't have inside information here, but I would guess he was told, you're not going to be the starting point guard here next year, right? This isn't, and I don't know that he earned that with his play this year. I was excited about all the Richmond kids on the VCU team because that makes life more fun for me. That makes life more fun for the fans. And I don't know that it's anybody's fault. It just didn't pan out. Jason Nelson wasn't the player we'd hoped he'd be. Roosevelt Wheeler never got the minutes. Fats Billups never got the minutes. Those guys, you know, kept working and you know, you never heard anything about, oh, the coaching staff can't stand them, or oh, they want out as soon as they can. But this is college basketball in 2024. If you can't get your minutes, you got to go somewhere and get your minutes. And so Jason Nelson moves on. 1 year at the Spiders, 1 year with the Rams. We'll see where he ends up with next. I mean, certainly would be a great MEAC pickup for some in Norfolk State, a team like that can give him the minutes. If you're looking to play, you're looking to play quickly. You're not looking to play long-term. And I would guess that's about how that went down. Because looking at it, there just weren't going to be minutes for him next year. And that's a business decision now. Take your ball, keep moving. We'll see where Jason Nelson ends up. But the other big item, Robbie Avila, he was the Indiana State kid with the goggles, Larry Blurred. He is coming to St. Louis, A-10 team, next year. St. Louis, which should be good at basketball, has not been for a while. They finally fired their coach, Travis Ford, one of the biggest all-time finesse coaches ever. He has run programs into the ground, then got paid a lot of money to leave, now two times. And I'm sure he'll do it again somewhere else. They're going to be on the up and up. They got Indiana State coach, now star players coming too. It will be fun to see him at the Siegel Center. It will be fun to have a good competitive A-10 next year, hopefully a little more top-heavy, because St. Louis is a team that should be in the top half of the A-10 every year. I don't think I'm out of turn in saying that. They've got the resources. They've got the history. They've got the fan base. So be excited to see him. I don't know if we have a schedule yet. I don't think so. Hopefully he'll come to the Siegel Center. That'd be a fun game. That's got TV game written all over it. I think they'll get good really fast out there in St. Louis, which is good for everybody. It's good for business. We're back. Speaking of good for business, Stone at Night at Capitol Ale House. Burgers are on sale tonight. That's Richmond's OG Burger Night. Awad's out there. He'll join us on the other side of the break. We'll wrap this thing up. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. From roof repair to emergency plumbing and more, done well. So the next time you have a home project, leave it to the pros. Get started at Angie.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit NationalDebtRelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit NationalDebtRelief.com. That's NationalDebtRelief.com.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.